Let's now see what the monument looks like nowadays. The extant edifice dates back to the first half of the 14th century. At that time, it had a nave measuring 14 by 11 metres, covered by cross vaults. On the east side, there is a three-sided apse, and on the west side, there is a vestibule with three arches on its facade. The central vaulted entrance belongs to the original 14th century edifice and preserves its remarkable sculpted decoration. At the time, the church must have been 15 metres high, which meant that it was the most imposing building in medieval Nicosia, second only to Hagia Sophia. The architectural style of the structure is simple, with massive exterior facades and buttresses. On the northwest side, one can see the remains of a Renaissance addition to the building. The roof and the superstructure, roughly to the height of the clerestory, had been destroyed when the Ottomans bombarded the city during the 1570 siege. A year after the fall of the city, the Ottomans rebuilt the walls, constructed a wooden roof over the building and the vestibule, plastered the interior, and added a minaret on the north side. On the northeast side, there's a wall with a Renaissance-style door believed to belong to the monastery's outbuildings. According to Camille Enlart, that was the wall of the pilgrim hostel erected by the Latin Archbishop of Cyprus, Guillaume Gonem, after 1469. The hostel was abandoned during the Ottoman occupation. From the 17th century through the beginning of the 20th, it stood in ruins up to the second floor level. Let us now get acquainted with the Augustinian monks who once lived here. Until the end of the 11th century, the Benedictines were the sole monastic order in the West. Thereafter, societies in Western Europe experienced a fast-paced development and variety in all fields of organized life. Those developments led to reforms in the monastic organization as well, manifested mainly in the establishment of the Augustinian and Cistercian orders. Augustinian monks aimed at reviving the strict ascetic way of life in a religious community, based on the writings of St. Augustine, the famous bishop of Hippo, who lived in the late 4th century. They probably came to Cyprus in 1192 or 1198, after leaving Jerusalem. Amarlik, the Lusignan king of Jerusalem, built them a small monastery in the mountains of Kyrenia. King Hugo I of Cyprus, 1204 to 1218, granted them Episcopia, near their monastery, and Thierry, the Latin Archbishop of Cyprus, allowed them to adopt the Canon of Premontre, the strict Augustinian monastery which followed the rules established in 1120 by Norbert, Archbishop of Magdeburg. Their habit was white, hence they became known as the White Fathers. For a time, they owned the White Abbey, that is, Belapes Abbey, to the east of Kyrenia, the monastery in Nicosia, and an annex in Paphos, of which, unfortunately, no trace has survived. The head of the Augustinian fraternity was an abbot to whom the king of Cyprus had given the privilege of wearing a mitre. When on horseback, the abbot bore a gilded sword and wore gilded spurs, like the feudal lords of the Cyprus kingdom. Today, the Emerkes Mosque is a medieval monument attracting both local and foreign visitors. It serves the religious needs of Muslims of various nationalities residing in the capital and in the whole of Cyprus. Simultaneously, it constitutes a source of important information for researchers studying medieval architecture and the history of medieval religious orders in Europe. If you happen to be in the area on a Friday around 1 p.m, you will notice lots of comings and goings. It's time for Friday prayers, and people go to the mosque. Let us follow in their footsteps. Walking on Trikupi Street, between the coffee shop and the kiosk, we see the entrance to the imposing monument. We cross the iron fence gate and take the cement walkway. To the right, we find the ablution fountain. Faithful Muslims wash their hands, feet, neck, and face, and then proceed to the courtyard. They leave their shoes outside and enter the mosque. The floor is covered with a green carpet. In Islam, green symbolizes paradise. Past the threshold on either side, there are wooden bookcases containing the Quran and other religious books. Up ahead we see the minbar, the pulpit, where the imam stands to address the congregation. Close to the minbar there's a mihrab, the green-coloured niche in the wall indicating the direction of Mecca. In other words, the direction in which worshippers must turn to pray. Opposite the mihrab, there's a square balcony where women used to pray, away from men's eyes. Now the women's prayer room is located where the chapel of John de Montfort, a Latin saint, used to be. This is the only part of the whole monument in good repair. Its ceiling retains the pointed arches supported by four tufa pillars with capitals on the eastern wall. The four windows with the wooden frames admit daylight into the mosque. To the north, we can see a part of the hostel where pilgrims used to lodge. The Renaissance-style vaulted entrance has survived. At the northwest corner of the chapel, there's a 42-step ladder which used to lead up the old minaret, which collapsed probably due to some earthquake. A new minaret was built further to the northwest. The imam has to climb 50 steps to reach the first landing to call the faithful to prayer, and another 50 steps to the next landing. Visitors will find this second landing ideal if they wish to admire a panoramic view of the walled city of Nicosia. To the northeast, one can see the impressive archbishopric, and to the east, the Hagiorgakis Konnesios mansion, a representative sample of the 18th century urban architecture, which has been declared a monument by the Department of Antiquities. Another 13 steps lead to the top of the minaret, crowned with a metal cone. Returning to the interior of the mosque, we see the arabesques, inscriptions in Arabic, on the walls. Three crystal chandeliers and many large fans, indispensable during the summer period, are suspended from the wooden ceiling. According to the Omeriye Imam, the ceiling is a mere 100 years old, since the previous ceiling was destroyed when a fire broke out and had to be replaced. The roof is tiled. On the east side, where the church sanctuary used to be, there are three tall and narrow windows with wooden frames. In the past, those windows used to have stained glass. This concludes our visit to the Omeriye Mosque, which replaced the majestic Gothic church. It is yet another monument attesting to the rich history of the island. Let us now take a look at the Omeriye Baths, which are in the old town of Nicosia as well, close to the mosque, to the northwest of the archbishopric. They were built around 1571 and were donated by Lala Mustafa Pasha to the city after the Ottoman conquest of the island. The bath complex, the hammam, was dedicated to the Prophet Omer, and the area was named Omeriye. Entering the baths through the south side, we cross a small courtyard and access the entrance hall, a large domed room with an octagonal pool in the centre. Visitors undress in this room and then proceed into the areas beyond. The two rooms of the warm zone and then the domed room of the hot zone. Following the 2003 restoration, the Ottoman baths have become very attractive and have developed into a popular resting place in Nicosia. The restoration was undertaken in the framework of the Nicosia Master Plan and was funded mainly through the United Nations Development Programme, the United Nations Office for Project Services, and the Partnership for the Future. The Municipality of Nicosia and the Foreign Ministry also shared in the funding. In 2006, the monument was awarded first prize in the Conservation of Architectural Heritage category of the European Union Prize for Cultural Heritage, the Europa Nostra Awards.